Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid and SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Happy Thursday, everybody. Kev, not wearing your Masters green this morning, but nonetheless, got a lot of headlines to get to.
Yeah, look, you've got the green covered. I was just a little golf pole, a little wildness, but you got to get ready to do it. It's Thursday. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I need you in green tomorrow. But let's get to our 7-7 headlines. Of course, the top one's going to be the Masters teeing off today. That's at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. First major of 2021. Masters teed off just 5 months ago with Dustin Johnson putting on the green jacket in the end. Kevin and I are going to break down the best ways to bet the Masters in our next segment. But all around excited for it, Kev.
Yeah, this is going to be tremendous stuff. We'll talk about some of the big favorites. Also, in hour number two, Cam Stewart slated to join us to give us a little six-pack. Excited for that as well.
Yeah, so let's switch it over to the NBA before we get into all things Masters. KD was back in the lineup last night. He dazzles in his return as the Nets cruise past the Pelicans. Now, KD played his first game since February 13th. He shot a perfect 5-for-5 and finished with 17 points, 7 boards in 19 minutes of play.
We slid in right before things closed up on an under 21.5 points prop for Durant when we found out he was coming off of the bench. I cannot believe that he played 19 minutes and I was as horrified as I was that he was going to cash the over because he just didn't miss. For all of the, you know, question marks that I've put around this guy, game one, I mean, he was basically perfect. Turned it over maybe a little bit more than you'd like. 17, 7-5 in 19 minutes, 0 misses. Incredible.
Yeah, and like you said yesterday, it's good for him to test the water against a team like the Pelicans who had pretty bad defense. But we'll talk about that game later in the show. Also in the NBA, the Suns win in overtime battle versus the Jazz. Now, they scored the first 5 points in overtime and never trailed again. Devin Booker and Chris Paul combined for 64 points, including 12 of the Suns, 15 in overtime. Great overtime win for the Suns as they face an even tougher matchup today with the Clippers.
Yeah, look, for the Suns, they have two guys that they believe can close the door against anybody. This had a playoff atmosphere to it. Phoenix gets the job done. They're only one game back of Utah in the loss column for that top spot in the West.
And then how about in soccer? We don't talk about it too much here, but PSG stunned Bayern 3-2 in the first leg of the Champions quarterfinal matchup.
This is very important. Bayern Munich has just been dominating Europe now for what feels like a solid year. I know they were a little banged up, but they were hosting this portion of the quarterfinals. Of course, the second leg, right? Then they'll go to Paris. Paris, a horrendous history of blowing first leg leads. Go look up what happened when they led massively against Barcelona just a couple of years ago. But Neymar had the assist. Kylian Mbappe scored a goal. It was everything you could want if you're PSG. People are going to be chomping at the bit, though, I think, Aaron, to be betting on Bayern Munich in the second leg when we get that meeting. But still a massive result in the quarters for the first leg for PSG.
Yes, of course. Let's switch it over to our headline in the MLB. Braves sweep the doubleheader yesterday after the Nationals took game one of the series to obviously win their season opener. In the first game, Braves won 7-6. Second game, Braves shut them out. So it's actually interesting. These NL East teams are already looking pretty competitive this year.
Yeah, this is really... I just think with the doubleheaders, it was a good reminder for us with what we're dealing with here. Seven innings, and the first one goes well over. You have 13 total runs. The second, though, significantly lower scoring. Strasburg did look good in his debut, which is important for Washington. But Atlanta gets off the mat twice. That was their first two wins of the season, so that was massive for the Braves.
And quickly, want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by Kevin Walsh, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Just hit on the Braves sweeping the doubleheader yesterday. Also in the MLB yesterday, Cleveland's Shane Bieber strikes out 12 people for the Royals in the Indians 4-2 win. Good win for him, especially if you had taken a strikeout prop.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with this guy's K-prop. I mean, look, maybe they'll just keep, you know, it was 8.5 with a little plus money on opening day. Then it was 8.5 with a lot of minus money here. We're going to go to 9.5. I don't know where they're going to put the juice, but people are going to still bet this thing over. 12 Ks in both of his first two starts, and he hasn't even been that sharp. It's just, this is how he gets people out. Shane Bieber is incredible. A great result for Cleveland.
Yes. Also in the MLB, the A's get their first win in extra innings against the Dodgers. I did not think the A's had it in them, to be honest. Three of the four runs were when the Dodgers took Trevor Bauer off the mound. But nonetheless, all claps around for the A's. They get a win.
Yeah, this was actually really important, I think, for this team, especially because they had to score in the ninth to get it into extras. Then they closed it out in the bottom of the 10th. They were in danger of falling to 0-7, all seven losses at home, as they are now about to head into a new series with the Houston Astros, which we're going to talk about. What a horrifying first couple of games for Oakland. And then just quickly, Aaron, on the Dodgers side of things, Trevor Bauer, another strong outing for him. Not spotless just yet, but striking out 10 batters, going almost seven innings. Good stuff from Bauer, even if he didn't get the result he was looking for.
Yeah, and the A's getting swept by the Astros, then having to play the Dodgers. I mean, those two series back-to-back, especially when you're a team like the A's, just kind of unfortunate when you definitely want to get those wins on the board. But stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk all things about the Masters. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. Of course, today, the Masters tee off. So Kevin and I wanted to start out the show talking all things Masters, kind of taking you through the leaderboard. So, of course, this is the first major of 2021. The last time Masters was played was 5 months ago, which, of course, is very weird to have it in November. There will be different course conditions, of course, and we'll even have fans this time. So excited to be watching this. But the top golfers in the world will be trying to win the green jacket here. I mean, this is basically the Super Bowl of the golf world. Kev, typically the winner is usually coming in the top 10 players heading into the Masters, which is interesting. So why don't we just go down the leaderboard a little bit here? We have Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson as the co-favorites right now at plus 950. Do you think either of these players have a shot to win it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they both have a shot. Now, they come in probably with different narratives surrounding them. The interesting thing with Dustin Johnson is, one, what he's looking to do is something that's now not been done in nearly two decades. And that's become the first player since Tiger Woods in 2001 and 2002 to win at Augusta in consecutive tries. I mean, it's just a really, really difficult thing to do. And he also comes in, Aaron, not playing the sharpest golf of his career, finished 28th at the Dell Tech, 48th at the Players, and was 54th at the Workday. Dustin has had this happen before. I remember back when we were first, you know, breaking down golf because it was the most important thing during the pandemic times. He was just like an auto fade and then won every single tournament. So that very well could be around the corner, some incredible play, but he's not entering this in playing at a level that maybe justifies that sub 10-1 number.
Yeah, and he's shot 4 over par over his last 2 events. And you make a lot of great points there that this is something that hasn't been done, obviously, since Tiger Woods. And then let's make the case then for DeChambeau. I mean, he's only tied for 21st as an amateur here at Augusta. And the one major issue that I was reading about, even though he is one of the favorites, is that his accuracy when putting, he actually leads the tour in driving distance and scoring average. But just overall, when it comes to the greens, he might struggle a tad.
So here's the thing with Bryson, and you've heard me talk about Bryson before, my excitement level to watch Bryson, because he's divisive. Whether he's tremendous or terrible, it is newsworthy. And Bryson went into Augusta in November and called the course a par 68. For those that don't know, it's a par 72, meaning he thought that is if he just played bang average, he was going to be 4 under every single round. Well, he proceeded to not shoot a 68 or better in any of the 4 rounds that he played, and in fact was above par in 2 of the 4 rounds that he played back in November. But maybe that now he is a little extra motivated and, more importantly, familiar with the course, learned from his mistakes. He had a wild, you know, moment where they lost a ball somehow. How is that possible? Mm-hmm. How did we lose a ball? This is Augusta. There's a bazillion cameras and a bazillion people. Find my darn ball. But they couldn't find the ball. He seemed a little rattled. Does Bryson come in now with a clearer head, but also still thinking that this course he could play routinely at 4 under or better? Because if he does, Aaron, then he could steam the field the way that he did at the U.S. Open. I think Bryson maybe to come out hot. Just let's find out, is Bryson on it right away? He's 18 to 1 to be the leader after the first round. I think that's an interesting number on DeChambeau.
Yeah, odds makers, of course, having a lot of faith on him. But then after these two co-favorites, we have Justin Thomas. Oh, actually, he just moved up to plus 950. So all 3 are co-favorites now that actually just moved. So I was looking at it. And then John Rahm, 12 to 1. Why did Justin Thomas just jump up that quickly? Maybe people are hammering him right before because of the things we just talked about with DeChambeau and Johnson.
Yeah, no, this is the fun thing. These odds boards, you know, they're going to be moving a lot. That was also great because, you know, Aaron clearly then would love herself some in-play sports tonight right there. It's very exciting to watch these things just fly around.
Brain game live.
Yeah, absolutely. That was tremendous stuff. The interesting thing with Justin Thomas is he's now going to be playing at Augusta for the 6th time. He has improved his finishing position every single time he has come to the Masters. Well, his most recent performance in November, he finished 4th. There's only 3-2 and winning this whole thing. If he's going to continue that trend of always improving on his finishing position, Justin Thomas all the way up now at plus 950. Not hard to see why. Also, good form. Coming off a win at the Players. I understand why people are backing JT here.
And how about John Rahm? He's at 12-1. He's behind these co-favorites now. And he just had a baby. Yeah. So some people saying he might have a little bit of a baby fever on the course, forget how to play. A lot of people equating him to Rory McIlroy potentially. But that hasn't happened just yet. We have to see how he plays here. But what are your thoughts on him in the Masters?
So Rahm right now, a lot of people are also calling back to when Danny Willett won this in 2016. You know, recently saw the birth of a child, came out, wins the Masters. I, as you know, more of an NBA guy, think about when Fred VanVleet was away, saw you know, his wife give birth, and then came back and lit the Bucks on fire, and then the Warriors in the finals, and became an NBA champion. Nevertheless, dad strength does seem to be sometimes a thing for these athletes, and people are wondering if this could be John Rahm's time. Parlay that with the fact that he's just a tremendous golfer, and it's not hard to make the argument for this guy to win this whole thing. He has now finished top 10 in 3 consecutive trips at Augusta. He's playing, you know, good golf right now because that's all John Rahm feels like he plays these days. You know, and one of the keynotes you mentioned, Aaron, when you're here, you're not flying down the board. It depends how many people you're looking to bet in the outright market pre-tournament. But if you're looking to pick only, say, 1 or 2 people, you could pocket a Rahm and a Justin Thomas and just go from there. Because, of course, when you're betting golf, you're talking about, yeah, the favorite, but they're all almost 10 to 1 or better.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with golf, like you just mentioned. You can sprinkle money on a couple players. You can also bet it live. There's so many other markets that you could bet on right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. We have finish position, round one, match betting, hole scores, hole winner, to win three balls, make and miss the cut, tournament props, group betting, tournament specials, round scores. So there's so many things you can bet on. But when obviously you're looking at the golf leaderboard, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm getting these great odds. I mean, 12-1 odds, 25-1 odds on some people like Xander Schauffele, who potentially could win this as well. And we'll make a case for him in a little bit. But it's just interesting to see these odds, obviously, so long, so you can take the risk and kind of sprinkle money around there.
No, that's, I mean, you have to kind of go out of your way to lay a number when you're betting golf, right? You know, we're Major League Baseball. We're in the heat of the baseball season. Yesterday, oh, I like what Shane Bieber's got up against the Kansas City Royals. Cool, minus 200. Like, you're going to have to click through every single tab here to find a minus 200 number, it feels like, when you're betting golf. And that is great for people that are, you know, kind of just looking to get introduced to the sport from a betting perspective. Because you see those big minus numbers, you're like, I got to lay what to win that? But in golf, you're like, wait, 10 bucks wins me $200? Great, awesome. You know, so that's one of the things that's really encouraging. And also, there's so many markets. There's a bazillion things to choose from here when betting on the Masters.
No, there definitely is. And later in the show, Kevin and I are going to continue to break this down and kind of talk about even more players. We'll also bring on Cam Stewart to give us his six pack. So excited for that. But quickly before the break, one other player, Jordan Spieth. He obviously just won the Valero Texas Open. A lot of people liking him, thinking he can do it back-to-back tournaments. He won the Masters in 2015, the youngest ever. But from my position, I think it's very hard to win tournaments back-to-back, even with the research that I've done. It's not being done where a player wins a tournament and then goes on to win the Masters the next week. Mm-hmm.
And let me make this point. You called this the Super Bowl of golf. You know how when we're betting, right, the Super Bowl all year long, we're following the futures market. Oh, that team is 50-1 to win the Super Bowl. Oh, now they're 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. Jordan Spieth was 60-1 to win the Masters and is now 12-1. Not a great number to bet now.
No, it's not. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. Kevin and I are going to get into some NBA recap off the bat. Of course, the first game we want to talk about is the Pelicans-Nets. Nets win 139-111, covers double-digit favorites, moving to 2-6 against the spread when favored by double digits. But of course, the main headline is Kevin Durant was back in after missing 23 games due to that hamstring strain. Durant shot a perfect 5-for-5, 17.7 rebounds in 19 minutes of play. But all around, he looked good in his opening game back.
Yeah, this game was nuts because he didn't start. So you're like, all right, what's going on here? I guess minutes limit, okay. And then the first quarter, you're like, still not playing. In comes Blake, still not playing. In comes Nick Claxton. Where's Kevin Durant? He's not on the bench area. Is this guy even going to play today?
They're like playing games with us. They're taunting
us. Yeah, no, they were.
KD is going to be back, and they're not going to start him. They're going to just wait and like have that, him linger around.
Like the under 21 and a half that I was sitting on, I was like, all right, well, I need him to play in order to win. Otherwise, I think the bet's void.
You're sweating.
So he comes into the game. I'm like, all right, that's great. Now he can cash a ticket. And then he wouldn't miss. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, please get this guy out of the game. Like, he won't miss. This is absurd. But he went out there. He played, I think it was the final 7 minutes of the second quarter. And then comes out, starts the third quarter, and plays the entire third quarter, all 12 minutes. And it was like, somebody, please take this guy out. But we also thought, like, this was great to play that terrible Pelicans defense. But what more could you really ask for in Durant's return? He turned it over a little bit more than you would have liked. He was a plus 22, 17-7-5, and a perfect 100% from the floor in 19 minutes. in a return game. I don't care if he was playing the Pelicans. I don't care if he was playing Gonzaga. I don't care if he was playing North Texas. That's incredible for a guy that's now not played his most recent game on February 13th, comes out here and does that. Incredible.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to play this entire game. And obviously, we talked about yesterday and even at the top of the show, it's a good game for him to come in with very limited defense from the Pelicans, and they're banged up. So it's a good game to test the waters there. Just thought he would have started instead of kind of taunting everybody of, oh, is my bet going to be voided? What's going to happen here? But I wanted to also talk about Kyrie Irving. Now, he led the team with 24 points, which is much, much lower than his 40-point performances lately, obviously, with James Harden being out as well. Now that you see one of these players come back, KD, he didn't play this entire game, but it just goes to show how other players are limited compared to some of the performances they had been putting up in the past.
And I think this serves as a, I guess at the minimum, when it comes to this Nets team and the question marks or worries that, you know, some of us may have as it pertains to this team come the playoffs, they still have one, a ridiculously high ceiling, and maybe more importantly, a ridiculously high floor. As long as they are out there with Durant, Kyrie, and then, of course, at some point, Harden as well, you anticipate they'll all be able to play together. And they're going to score, it feels like, at least 115 points. It's what it feels like. Like, they won't be on upset alert in the first round of the playoffs. If they get matched up with the Bucks or the Sixers, we can talk about it. Maybe Miami will entertain the conversation as well. But whether it's the Knicks or the Hawks or the Pacers or the Bulls, the Nets are going to, at worst, beat those teams in five games. At worst, beat those teams in five games. They just have way too much that they can throw at these teams, as the Pelicans found out here last night.
Yeah, and the Pelicans, again, shorthanded, but Zion Williamson was in that game. Let's switch it over to another game that happened last night, Jazz Suns. This was a great one. Suns make a statement with their overtime victory, winning 117-113, of course, over the NBA leader Utah Jazz. They cover as the underdogs and the over hit, so good win for the Suns. Not used to them being underdogs, of course. Now, they scored the first 5 points in overtime, never trailed again. You have Devin Booker, Chris Paul. They had 64 combined points, 12 of the Suns' 15 overtime, to give Phoenix that 7 straight win, while of course spoiling Donovan Mitchell's 41-point performance. It's so interesting that in the NBA, some of these players can have performances like that. I mean, Steph Curry just had one for the Warriors recently, and obviously they had the win there, but in Donovan Mitchell's case, he gets 41 points, and they don't even win.
So here's the question, Aaron. 38-13, best record in the NBA. Here's the question. Is anybody scared of the Utah Jazz?
I don't think so, and that's actually a good question, because you, I feel, are not scared of the Utah Jazz, because the first half before the All-Star break, you kept saying they're hot, but this isn't going to sustain, and it feels like it wasn't going to, but come the playoffs, there's nobody on that team that I'm like, oh, I'm so scared of this player in the playoffs. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, like, of course, is great, but it's not that, you know, Jimmy Butler feel of a team.
Like, the reality is Utah is only one game better than Phoenix now in the loss column. And that's a major compliment, of course, to the Phoenix Suns. But it also, you know, for Utah, they have come back to the pack after winning what felt like every single game that which they played. And for the Jazz, having the one seed is incredible, because they hold a preposterous 22-2 home record. If nobody can beat them in Utah, and then they finish with the best record in the NBA, well, then it doesn't matter what they do on the road, because they'll control everything, of course, playing, you know, game sevens in Utah. But for this team, and look, Donovan goes out there, puts up 41. Rudy Gobert, 7 of 7, 16 points, 18 rebounds. But there is something about this team that I don't think scares people. And it's not just because they haven't won a championship. I think part of it is Donovan can still have some nights where he is a little inefficient. Trust me, I'm not taking a shot at Donovan Mitchell coming off of a 41-point night. That's not the point here, but he was 16 of 35. He'd maybe like it to be a little bit more efficient than that. And here's the other reality. No matter how much people in Utah talk about Rudy Gobert as the best defensive player in the league, or they try and tell you he's a top 10 mm-hmm. player in the NBA, which he damn sure is not a top 10 player in the NBA, he is a superstar that other players do not fear. And in fact, they welcome that challenge. Oh, we'll pull that guy out. We'll make sure that this guy's got to defend corner threes. We can attack that guy. And you can say that that's a mistake, but that gives teams extra confidence. They don't go into this saying, oh no, we're playing the 38-13 Jazz. Okay. Devin Booker and Chris Paul are like, that's food. We're finishing on that. We're laying it in. We're hitting jumpers over you. We're getting you in a tough spot. You're going to have to switch. You're going to have to make decisions. And that is why when people have said Utah is being under-respected, no, they're not. Their odds have been moving. We've given them a lot of credit. But let's call it what it is. They are not the favorites to mm-hmm. come out of the West, and they should not be the favorites to come out of the West.
And this would be a different conversation had the Lakers not lost recently AD and LeBron at this time. Obviously, they're number five, but if right now in the Western Conference standings, but had this been different mm-hmm. and there's players not injured, we really wouldn't even be talking about the Jazz being, you know, leading the NBA. Same thing with had the Nets not had major injuries. So I think that they have had a great first half. So we're able to talk about them. They've gone on these crazy streaks. They're covering the spread when they're winning. So it's been great for bettors from that perspective. But just overall, you make a great point that they don't have all these star players that you're scared to play this team. And clearly last night, that was evident. I mean, Chris Paul was telling reporters after the game that this Jazz team just can't match our energy. Even though they went into overtime this game, they clearly felt that they mm-hmm. were the better team and they were going to win.
Yeah, and look, let's give Phoenix their credit as they've continued to really, really impress throughout this season. They have gone from, hey, I think Chris Paul will get them to playoff basketball, to they might be the one seed in the West. I mean, this is a tremendous season for this team, and what they have is two closers in Devin Booker and Chris Paul. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's valuable. Yeah. That's important for this team. How DeAndre Ayton will perform in the postseason remains to be seen, but he was a plus 15 with 18 points and 12 boards against Utah. So you like that. You love to see it. But the reality still, to me, in the Western Conference, and this is probably messed up of me on a night in which these two go out there and play a tremendous game, but so be it. They're the two best records in the West. They're not the two best teams in the West. Neither one of them is a top two team in the West. It is still the Lakers and the Clippers. And with the way the Nuggets look, with MVP Jokic and Aaron Gordon coming in, you could probably argue that the preseason rankings of the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Nuggets in the Western Conference futures market maybe had it right. We'll see how the standings shake out. It's valuable for these teams mm-hmm. to be as high as they can in the Western Conference, but I think both of these teams will still feel like they are the ones who have to pull the upset, even if they're hosting a Lakers or hosting a Clippers.
And you mentioned the Lakers and Clippers probably being that top two teams there in the Western Conference. And, of course, the Suns are going to play the Clippers tonight on a back-to-back, and we'll break down that game later in the show, but that'll be a good one to watch. Also last night, I want to mention before we get up to the break, Knicks Celtics. So the Celtics did get this win, 101-99, but they have failed to cover seven of their last eight games on the end of a back-to-back. Terrible there. And then you have the Knicks are 7-1 against the spread in their last eight road games. But they struggled to get those wins. All around, this was a good win for Boston. I don't like betting on them to mm-hmm. win or to even cover at this point. You know how I feel about that team. But against one of the NBA's best defenses, Boston still struggled with turnovers, but was able to hold on.
No, it's very valuable. Aaron does a good job throwing teams away, which is helpful. But with the Knicks, we need to talk about this team and their odds to make the playoffs when we come back.
Yes, we will be right back after the break. Stay with us here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Thanks for joining us. We're going to continue a little bit of recap before we hit our NBA preview. So, of course, last night we had the Knicks losing to the Celtics. The Celtics holding the number 7 spot right now in the Eastern Conference, and the Knicks one game behind them. Kevin, I know the Knicks aren't getting these wins, but they're playing well. They're covering the spread, so that's all we really care about here on the early line. But what's going to happen in terms of these Eastern Conference standings?
Yeah, right. Good teams win, great teams cover. The interesting thing to me when it comes to this Knicks squad, and that's a team right now that a lot of people have talked about, will they, won't they make the playoffs? There were these big, gaudy 7-1 numbers out there that some folks have. Some people bought it at a lower number, maybe a 4-1, 3-1. They're right now minus money to miss the playoffs, though. Minus 140, no. Plus 114, yes. Some people could be looking at this and think, they're going to finish top 8. They just need to put a couple of results together. Well, of course, listen, they're going to just need to be inside the top 10 to get themselves into the play-in, which is good enough because I think the Knicks will still get themselves into the play-in. And if you're a Knicks fan at this point, if they were to miss the play-in, that would be heartbreaking. And if you had those tickets, obviously, that would be disastrous. You can do some damage with those tickets. The question becomes, how much do you trust this team when they get into the play-in? Well, they've now lost 5 of their last 6 games. But if we go back, Aaron, just through the month of March up until now, and who's this Knicks team beaten? It is exclusively bad teams. They beat the Pistons, Milwaukee, but with none of their starters playing. 2 against Washington, Orlando, awful. They beat Oklahoma City, the worst team in the NBA. Detroit, again. Before that, Detroit, again. All they do is beat Detroit. It has been forever since this team beat anybody of note. I mean, maybe Atlanta, but I think that was when Lloyd Pierce was still coaching, so that almost doesn't count. Look, they're going to go to the that they're going to get to the play-in, okay? But if they can't beat any good teams, well, they're not going to make it out. They're not. Now, you might challenge the concept of whether or not the Pacers are a good team who they did beat back in, you know, late February, or whether or not the Bulls are a good team. Those teams all have significantly higher offensive ceilings. And I know the Knicks' defense is great, but they turn the screws to people on the defensive side of the court in a way during the regular season that not many do. But everybody ups the defensive intensity when the playoffs begin. So if that defensive effort advantage that they have over everyone, Aaron, is mitigated, their offensive struggles are only going to be worse. I am not sure I want to click on the Knicks at minus 140, but I will tell folks out there right now that have these big Knicks to make the playoff numbers, get ready to hedge in those play-in games because they are going to find themselves up against it because they're also now only a game off of Indiana of no longer being in the top 8. They're 2 games below 500. It's just a much different vibe for this team since we've come off the All-Star break.
And like you've mentioned, the Knicks are not really beating these top-tier teams. I don't know if you want to call Boston a top-tier team, but someone that you expect to make the playoffs. We didn't have really high expectations of the Knicks coming into the season. So as they got those wins and climbed up that board, of course, we have to start talking about them and say, oh, they're going to make the playoffs, or they're going to make a run or anything of that nature. Obviously, before the All-Star break, the Wizards were around this spot. We were talking about them. Oh, can they make a jump? And look at them now. They're in, you know, 13th place, 18-32. So it'll be interesting to see where they land in terms of this board, but you make a lot of great points there. So let's get into some of the preview, because there's a lot of great games on the board tonight, starting off with the Suns and the Clippers. Of course, the Suns just getting that good overtime win over the Jazz. Just talked about that in our previous segment, but big Western Conference matchup. Now, the Clippers are coming off a win over the Trailblazers. Just want to note that before I get into some important numbers. So the Clippers, 19-8 in the Staples Center this season. They're also on rest. And the Suns are 1-8 against the spread in their last 9 meetings in Los Angeles. The Suns are an underdog tonight, +5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now with the total at 224. Kev, I'm going to be honest with you. You know I don't like taking favorites, but I think the Clippers laying the number might be the play here.
So I struggle to disagree because Phoenix is not only on a back-to-back, but they just played an overtime playoff atmosphere kind of matchup against the Utah Jazz. On the other side is a Clippers team that'll very likely be licking their chops to put up a big result against Phoenix, hosting Phoenix right now. Season ended today. This would be a 2-3 game in the second round of the Western Conference playoffs. The one thing that you can't help but see is the Phoenix Suns are a preposterous and impossible 5-0 straight up as a road dog. I do not know how that is. I do not know how you win every single time you are a road underdog. Of course, some of that has to do with the fact that every time they, you know, win a game, they cover. It's ridiculous for them to hold that number. It could be enough to worry me off the Clippers, but the thing with the Clippers, and we saw this against Portland, Aaron, to me, is Paul George is going to hold the keys. That and Kawhi's health. Because Kawhi very likely will continue to produce for them. The other guys will take turns stepping up, at least in an ideal world. But if Paul George can go out there and light it up the way that he at times can, when we see Paul George playing to his ceiling, like he did against Portland, 36 points, 6 made threes, 11 of 18 from the floor. The Clippers are very, very difficult not to beat, just to compete with. But when Paul George gets into the playoffs and then all of a sudden no longer knows how to play basketball, that's when the Clippers become vulnerable.
Yeah, for sure. And just like I mentioned, right now the FanDuel Sportsbook Clippers minus 5 total at 224. This will be a great game. But I mean, 5-0 for being road underdogs, which you usually don't see the Suns being underdogs in the majority of their games. Yeah. That's a crazy stat to go against. But let's get to another game on the board that I'm excited for. The Bucks and the Mavericks, of course, win a chant. Fade the Bucks, fade the Bucks. The Bucks are 3-9 against the spread in their last 12 road games. I'm going to get shirts made of that. 2-7 against the spread in their last 9 games following a loss, and 2-6 against the spread in their last 8 games overall. Now, right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, we have the Bucks laying 1.5. We don't have the total posted just yet. Now, the Bucks were almost good enough to take down the Warriors without Giannis Antetokounmpo, but they didn't get it done on Tuesday. And Antetokounmpo right now is doubtful for this game. So while the Mavs are on a back-to-back, and they did just have a tough loss against the Rockets, and I understand that, I can't not fade the Bucks. It's just, I'm in that position where I'm not ready to do that.
I would buy one of your Fade the Bucks t-shirts. I think that would sell
I
well.
I could make a, I'm in a little side hustle. I feel like it would sell really good for those who are in the Eastern Conference teams, especially Sixers fans. We have to play them.
Yeah. EKD clothing. I think it works. I think we could work on something there. You know, a little early line shirts. Yeah, wouldn't be mad at that. Here's the thing with Milwaukee, though, in this 1.5-point number, is if Giannis plays, it'll go up. And if he doesn't play, the Mavericks will close his favorites. He is doubtful. Now, they're not going to become massive favorites. Doubtful. They're expecting he won't play. But Milwaukee cannot be a 1.5-point favorite against Dallas if they were a 1.5-point favorite against Golden State. Oh, and by the way, didn't win the game. That can't be. Yeah. Dallas is better than Golden State. Undeniably better than Golden State. So, simply put, if Giannis is confirmed out, that number's wrong. The wrong team is favored. It should be the Dallas Mavericks. And I think considering that he is doubtful, and it would be surprising to see Giannis answer the bell, Aaron, it makes the Mavericks the early line play, right?
Yeah, no, I think it is. Mavericks are 6-2 against the spread in the last 8 home games, 4-1 against the spread in the last 5 games against a team with a winning record, and 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 games overall. So that all screams to me, take them, especially if you can get them at +1.5 right now. Like you mentioned, if Giannis actually doesn't play, this line's going to switch. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw this switch around noon if news breaks that Giannis isn't playing tonight.
And as far as the total goes, and we don't have one posted just yet, but the Mavericks come in as a big-time under team, right? They've cashed 5 consecutive unders. They've cashed 7 of their last 8 to the under. However, the last 3 Bucks games without Giannis, the 243 points scored in that Warriors game, which, by the way, only had like 100 points in the first half, that 243 is the fewest points that have been scored in a non-Giannis Bucks game in their last three. There are a gazillion points scored because their defense suffers and all they do is rip threes. So even if Dallas has been an under team, I think you actually could get some value to the over because of Giannis being out, possibly dropping the total a little bit because they're like, oh, but they're missing one of the best players. And then the recent performances of when he's absent, I think jumping on a little over here, of course, you have to see what the number's at, but something in that light 230 range and playing it to the over could be a nice move.
Yeah, not a bad play. And again, for those that are just tuning in, just want to mention, if you do like the Mavericks tonight, get them at +1.5 right now in the FanDuel Sports before that line changes if Giannis Antetokounmpo is ruled out. Another game on the board that we can be excited about, but maybe not as excited as the other two games, Lakers-Heat. Lakers just beat the Raptors while the Heat just lost to the Grizzlies. Andre Drummond will return for this game. I did read that in reports. Now, the Lakers right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook are 8-point underdogs. Lakers are 1-5 though against the spread in their last six games as an underdog, 3-7 against the spread in their last 10 games overall. So they've been struggling to cover numbers. But the Heat also have been struggling. They're 2-5 against the spread in their last seven home games, 4-1 against the spread in the last five games overall. But right now the total, Kevin, this total is at 204 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook.
So, I just left him off the court.
Are you just going to take the over in this game?
So whenever you see a total like this, at times you're like, you know what? You guys can't be this bad, right? And you're like, I'll just take the over. And then it's halftime. The score's like 48-43. And you're like, all right, shut this game off. I'm just not watching this anymore. The Lakers, though, did play to the over in that game against the Raptors. That number was a 208. And the Heat have actually now come in and played to three consecutive overs, all of those games in Miami. I mean, the number is so low. I mean, it is
so low,
disgustingly low, that I just think you would, but like when the live total is like 186.5 and you're just like, oh boy, like, you know what I mean? It's tough. I guess out of principle, you'd rather play it to the over. I can't believe you left.
I mean, the over is 5-2 in the Heat's last seven games overall. But then, I mean, when it's 204, it's like, don't even play it. Just go to one of these other games and play something else.
I mean, these two teams shouldn't even play. Just flip a coin, and whoever wins the coin toss wins the game. Don't make us watch a game that has a total this low.
With the Lakers having AD and LeBron out, I just want to also... So, in terms of the spread, this Lakers team, they're still losing in the underdog role by an average of 8.5 points, which is crazy to think about in terms of the spread. I mean, they're getting the 8 points there, but still, I mean, this is just a terrible game. I don't want to bet on anything in this game. I don't even make a pick on this game. All right, guys, stay on the turn of the road. I'll be right back. You are hero of the night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. It is now time for our Hero of the Night Award that we, of course, give every day. Let's hear it.
Some instances during the commercial break made me wonder if I should just switch this to Jalen Hurts for no absolute reason, as there was a lot of anti-Eagles chatter, which I was not pleased about. But we've already decided who the hero of the night was, and it is a very, very deserving player. In fact, you might have been able to figure out who this was going to be if you listened to our Celtics-Knicks recap, because the Knicks, while not putting up results in the win column, they are covering, and they backdoor covered against the Boston Celtics because with just 1 second remaining on the clock, RJ Barrett, as the Knicks, as 3-point underdogs, trailed by five, he steps up and knocks down a 27-footer. The final moment of the game, cash out, cover the number, Knicks get the job done in a loss. It feels good. It feels like a while since we've been able to give someone credit for a true backdoor cover. I wish this would have pushed this thing to overtime and got over bettors home. I know that kind of happened in Utah, but not fair enough. The Jazz didn't cover, so I didn't want to do that. There was still more game that had to be played. I think RJ Barrett is a very deserving hero of the night because I feel bad. I feel like I speak very negatively of a lot of these New York teams despite being a New Yorker. So I wanted to give him a little pub, give him a little bit of the credit that they deserve, Aaron. RJ Barrett, the hero of the night.
I like it. And the Knicks are 7-1 against this spread in their last 8 road games. But Kev, I have to mention, you, like you said, you're from New York, but your teams are all over the map. Yeah. And I never understand people like this because I'm from Philly. Listen, so my teams are all Philly teams. I'm not going to be like, I have a New York team, I have a California team, I have this team and that team. I feel like you have them all
over. You got to stay. Look, we got to. You got to get the pulse of every side of the country here. Little Lakers action.
No, I feel like you can't be like
that. You got
that.
The Yankees.
I feel like that's just
no. You got to
keep
loyalty. Mobile.
Yeah.
Keep
it
mobile. Don't say that.
All right, we'll be right back after the break.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.